Why are the nations in an uproar, and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of this earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will surely give you the nations as your inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall shatter them like earthenware. Now therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, that he not become angry, and you perish in the way. For his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all who take refuge in him. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning, a day that you have ordained to infuse us, your children, with more of you. You have caused us to love you. Therefore, we have gotten up, for those of us in Enugu here, who are physically present, you have gotten us to get up early, get dressed, and rush down here to come and hear your word. We don't want to miss any part of it. Father God, we ask you to fill that hunger, satisfy that desire this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Many of us in remote places, we have taken time out to join here and there online. Lord, as we pay attention, and that's very important if you're listening to this from afar, pay attention. As we pay attention, Lord, let that spirit flow into us afresh this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, settle our confusions, heal our diseases, cause our minds to become clear and sound in the name of Jesus. Amen. Give us hope and joy again in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And let your name be glorified in our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because we believe, Lord, that you are giving us understanding and insight, we make our declarations as follows. That the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I've been filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. Philippians chapter 3. I want to read a few verses from there. I'm using the name NIV, but I like the first word in the New American Standard. Say, finally, my brethren. And then it says, further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, it says, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision. Please, I want also note this. A lot of people get into argument on these things. God's promise and not God's promise. Who is Israel? Who is not Israel? This is if you believe the revelation of God to Paul. If you believe the revelation of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what he said. For it is we who are the circumcision, who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Please bear it in mind. Now, the Paul that was speaking said, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. That is, I'm not saying this because I'm jealous of some people. Do you get my point? It's not like, if you wanted to say it belongs to the natural Israel, I belong there too.
So I'm saying it not because I've been denied that, but because I know the truth. Do you understand? He said, though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. I was circumcised on the 8th day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, someone who was persecuting the church, that is, my zeal was so much, it extended into persecution of the church. Now, if you were to count righteousness on the basis of the law, I was faultless. That's verse 6, the end of verse 6 there. So now, please notice this. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. Please, I want you to listen to this carefully. He said, whatever were gains to me, whether it's my natural, you know, my history as an Israelite, and listen to this, or my academic qualifications, or my political gains in life, you understand? Whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Please bear this in mind. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. There's something I'm looking for there. He said, for whose sake I have lost all things. Now, those things I lost, he said, I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. Now, you may lose something and be feeling bad. You won't gain anything. But you lose and you consider them garbage because you know something better is in front. Then you gain Christ. He said that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having the righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Please bear this in mind, though, the desire in this man's heart. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and the participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Now, notice verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining toward what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize. This is my goal. To win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. He now said, all of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some points you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. There are different points in life. Sometimes we have the right thoughts in some areas and we don't have the right ones in other areas. So only let us live up to what we have already attained. Very important, don't lose that which God has already given you in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Now, why did I read this? It's something once in a while I teach about, and I remind myself concerning what the walk of Christianity is about. What the walk of Christianity is about. Now, please listen to this. God really has a plan. And let me say this as a matter of fact. Take this earth as a qualifying zone for what the Bible calls the kingdom of God. Yes, there is an existence of the kingdom of God here, and there's a manifestation of God's presence as we allow it on the earth now. But that is not the kingdom of God. A time is coming when God is going to establish a new kingdom. A time is coming when he will create new heavens and a new earth. A time is coming when everything that we see now will pass away. Every single thing. All the things we have built, Burj Khalifa, you know, things we like to brag about. Things we have attained, PhDs, you know, professorships, inventors, richest man in the world. All those things, they will pass away. They will. I think we should remind ourselves once in a while, because sometimes we behave as if they will not pass away. We behave as if that's the most important thing in life. We behave as if I need to build as many buildings as possible, because something in my mind says they will not pass away. Do you follow my point? We behave as if whatever we achieve, you know, history will always remember us, which interestingly is not true. It's so not true. Do you know? I was watching a documentary of, well, somebody was analyzing who built the pyramids, you know, in fact, one particular, the Great Pyramid. Now, his own argument, now I won't go into it in details, is that it's not the Pharaoh that they said built it, that built it. And of course, everybody's still confused till now how that thing was built, because the technology obviously was advanced. Advanced. There are all kinds of things that have happened. I don't want to talk about it in details. The important thing is that whoever did that, they've perished and nobody can remember them. That's where I'm going. One of the things you find, the arrogance of the modern man, is that they think that they are so modern, everybody before them was a fool. So they will tell you that those early days, people were hunter-gatherers. They could not farm. You know, when you hear them talk, I say, you are really arrogant, too. What have you achieved that you think people have not achieved before? Those who have analyzed, say, that Great Pyramid, that if you build that thing today, it will be a technological marvel. If you build it today, they're able to do these calculations. Now, what I want to talk about is the fact that, yes, they've forgotten. The Bible says God can erase the very memories of people. That is, you go to a civilization and they will disappear. What am I trying to say? There's really nothing worth pursuing after. Sometimes the way we behave as Christians, and please let me put a small rebuke to pastors at this point. I believe I have a word for them once in a while. We come to church and we elevate physical things for Christians to pursue as a mark of success. I think that's why I said this message is probably very important for me as a person. Because, like I was saying on Tuesday, some things cost me to, you know, reason in the last few weeks. And I told myself, You know, there's a reason why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. When Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, you know what it means? It is something, naturally speaking, to be ashamed of. Don't ever forget that. So, if your gospel is always so popular and so nice, something is wrong with it. Something is wrong with it. If unbelievers like to flock to your gospel, you're not preaching the right one. That's why I think as a pastor, please, preach judgments too. He said, don't condemn people. I don't condemn anybody. It's their sin that condemns them. If I say the soul that sins, it shall die. If you don't want to die, what do you do? You stop sinning. I mean, it's not like, don't condemn people. The soul that sins, it shall die. Let's leave it like that. It shall die temporarily and eternally. Take it. By the way, I didn't say it. Scriptures. That's the rebuke I have for a lot of pastors. Don't try to be popular. Don't adjust your message for the sake of church growth. If you do, God will shorten your ministry. There are no strategies for things in this life, really. Your assignment is what? Obedience to the will of God. Are you getting my point? Your assignment is obedience to the will of God. Do what is right and let God do what is pleasing in His sight. It's very important. If you're a pastor, preach what you are supposed to preach. If he drags 500 people to church, fine. If he drives 500 people from church, fine. You are not accountable to 500 people. You are accountable to the Lord. God specifically said to Jeremiah and to Ezekiel, I will send you to difficult people. He said, make sure you boldly tell them what I say. You are forbidden to be afraid of them. And that means you are forbidden to try to please them. I've made up my mind, and I'm not turning back, that I will preach the word of God and prepare people for his kingdom. I will not prepare you for success measured by earthly standards. I won't. Christians are not the most successful on the earth. No, they are the most godly people on the earth. They are a breed of the righteous ones. They are called saints. You know what saints are? Called ones. Set apart. Holy. That they have, look at what Paul said here. Said they have a special attitude concerning everything. Look at it. He said, let us therefore, as many as are perfect or mature, which verse is there, 15? He said, all of us then who are mature should take such a view of things or have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. What does that mean? Christians have a particular attitude. They are marked by their attitude, not by their success. I hope you're following my point. Jesus said, by this shall all men know you are my disciples. He gave criteria, and they were not earthly criteria. Let me say it again, pastors and saints, listen. God is not in a financial competition with anybody. There are things he has given to Satan. Say, you can have it. Say, I want to tempt them with money. Say, fine. When I was young, I thought that if God, because of the gospel, the richest man in the world has to be a Christian. I don't know about you. I thought so. And people started telling us, of course, you either be Christian or be a, Jewish, it has to be Abraham. So we started looking for how to draw a Bill Gates. We had to find a way to just find the gospel into his family. And if you're in America, the gospel will be somewhere. I thought your great grandfather would be something. Did you follow my point? Now, I'm not saying God doesn't bless people. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying it's not into that competition. It's not. From the scriptures, we know Satan offered all the kingdoms to Jesus Christ as a temptation. And if he could not have delivered it, it was not a temptation. I hope you're getting my point. So please, when you go out to go and study, when you go to for seminars, church seminars especially, when you go to church, ask yourself, am I being prepared for the kingdom of God? Or for success that perishes on this earth? There is a manner of person you ought to be. That's what Peter told us. Let's read that quickly. I think I just feel like we should read that. It's very important. Peter was explaining that we know that all these things will be destroyed. What did he now say? He said, what manner of persons ought we to be? 2 Peter chapter 3. In verse 10, he said, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burnt up. Since all these things are going to be destroyed in this way, Peter said, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? He said, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat. He said, but according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. He said, therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. Let me just stop reading here, okay? Why did I read this? For us to understand what Peter said, that everything on this earth will pass away like the grass and like the flower of the field. He said, the breath of God will blow upon it. Christians, every success, every material achievement, attainment, let me use the expression, must be an addition, can never be a goal. Did you hear what I said? It must never be a goal. It must be an addition. You should have a different goal. Your goal, in simple terms, must be righteousness and holiness. Let's say it the way it is so. You know, I think I grew up, I don't know about, you know, I'm not very good with church history, but I think I grew up in the time when the transition between, in the particular transitory period in the body of Christ, at least in this country, in which you began to play down the holiness things. I participated. I was young, so I think going by biblical standard, I couldn't have been judged by those for those things. We were really small boys. We were just following people. We talk about being heavenly minded and earthly useless. Yeah. There was something we were trying to say, but then what it meant to us was that if you are really heaven minded, we should see what is produced on the earth. But now I realize the Bible didn't say so. The Bible said it should show in your holiness and your righteousness. The fact that you are heaven minded will show in what? Your holiness and your righteousness. That's how it shows. When people are pursuing things, people just realize that you don't seem bothered. Are you getting my point? Let's use the kind of corruption that we encounter a lot. Everybody's there, we are soon leaving office on the next 1 year. You see them trying to make arrangements. You're just doing your work as if nothing's happening. And when it ends, you walk away, you dust your hands, dust your seat, and get up and walk away. What's the plan? What's the next plan? No, sufficient unto the day. Yeah, those assignments we have done. The job we have done. I hope we did it well. I hope our master will find us faithful. If people have to remember you, is what mark of righteousness and holiness did you leave behind? As Christians, what should we pursue? The testimony of Daniel. You know, when Paul was leaving Ephesus, he said to them, one of his records, when he wanted to assess his own life in front of people, do you know what the assessment was? But things like, I taught you everything. I was teaching from house to house. I did not withhold from you anything that was good, but I delivered to you the whole counsel of God. In that process, I coveted nobody's silver or gold. He kept, give my friend, those are the things he gave as, how do I use it now? As the yardsticks for measuring how well they did. Please, as preachers, that's what should be. And as Christians, not just preachers. Those are, you are living in an office. Someone will tell you that you are here for 30 years. What legacy do you leave? Just ask them. Say, I didn't steal any money. I walked in righteousness and holiness. I did not sit on anybody's promotion. Those are the things you should check. Not praise God. I've been working here for 35 years. I have two houses, one in the village, one in Enugu. I built one for each of my children. That doesn't mean anything. I'm not saying they are bad. But God doesn't want you to brag about that. Your goal should be to be like Daniel. That somebody will say, why that man was here? If it's corruption, no, you couldn't mention him. And that one, any receipt he brought, we knew it was genuine. It will never happen that people are not doing their work and he's one of them. Our distinguishing mark must be righteousness and holiness. When problems arose, they sent for Daniel. Say that one. When he was in power, he said, you couldn't find evidence of corruption. They investigated him. negligence. He was not slack in business. He did what he was supposed to do. And one day, king arose that knew not Daniel. And they retired him. He was an old man, though. Then when problems came one day, the king's mother came and said, look, in the days of your father, there was this guy that had an extraordinary spirit. He said, insight, not understanding, ability to solve difficult problems, for him to unravel enigmas, was found in this Daniel. Now, call that Daniel. Now, where I'm going is that should be what? Your goal. I was referring to Acts chapter 20, when Paul was talking in Ephesus, when he was leaving. When I saw that part, he said, I've coveted nobody's silver and gold. Do you know? There I read it. He hit me. Bam. Because like I say all the time, as a preacher, you have power. Oh, you see, people don't. Preachers have more power than an average person realizes. Why do you think politicians all go to church? Ah, Apostle, election time. In the then, what is his name? Chairman of APC. When he got to church, Muslim man, praise the Lord. I don't know any of his other video. Praise the Lord. This man is a practicing, practicing Muslim. He went to church. Pastors are very powerful. The camera went to church, was greeted our daddy Gio. That was what he said, our daddy Gio. Daddy Gio, all of us like, praise God, revival. One brother in UK said, maybe we should forget that nonsense. What kind of revival is that? Election is coming, you're talking about revival. Do you know how many Nigerians have voting power? The guy had to go greet our daddy Gio. Pastors are very powerful. And listen, you can convert that power to material resources. It's very, look, and there are people who have made a profession of doing it. They don't realize an abuse of power. They are very powerful. I won't bore you with my illustration. You know, I've done it many times. I just everybody put up your hand. And old, young, generals in the army, professors, surgeons, lawyers, all kinds of people, they will put up their hand. And the person saying this, he's one 30-year-old boy who is struggling to complete his OND. And they will queue up and put their, because they believe there is power there. And they are typical Nigerians, they are afraid to offend God. Let the man remove the cover over their heads. Pastors are very powerful. And if you are that powerful, abusing your power is one of the temptations of life. You can use it to solve your own problems. That was when I saw when Paul said, I have coveted nobody's silver or gold. I took that scripture to the Lord in prayer. I said, Lord, let this be my testimony. I had to say to the Lord, please, let this be my testimony. What am I going to say? These are the kind of things. There's a goal you have to set in front of you as believers. Now, I began to talk last time about endurance and waiting. Waiting for what? What are we enduring? Please, let's know. It's very important we know what God is doing in our lives. He says the lost portion is his people. What is he doing? He's purifying you and I by the washing of water, by the word. Please, you know, church is not an investment place. It's not how to get rich. Do you follow my point? It is not. So let's get it out of our minds. I think we're having a problem in which people think you get to church, you know, is a way to leap materially. It's a way to leap in this life. That is not what it is. God blesses people. I'm not saying he doesn't. But that's not what we are looking for. We are looking for righteousness and holiness of the truth. That's what we're looking for. There are people who had plenty. And they went to church. And you know what God did? He took it away from them. He said, follow me. Follow me. Sell all you have. Give to the poor. And come and follow me. See, I know people have carried things to extremes. That has happened a lot of times. However, do you know God actually, go and read the book of Hebrews chapter 11. There are people who wander from one city to another. They look jobless to you and I. And God says they are too good for this world. Please, let us set our eyes, our affections again, literally on the things above. I think, when we began to learn how to have God supply our needs and all of that, little by little, we began to focus the eyes of Christians on material things. Little by little. Somebody, for one of our brothers, forwarded something to me yesterday, one pastor who said that. Actually, very fun, very, very, very fun. He said, if you don't have money, God can never commit anything to your hands.
Yeah.
You saw it?
Yes, sir.
I saw it yesterday. I said, what? Sometimes I wonder, some of these are pastors. Do we read this Bible? I don't know. Do we take this Bible and read? See, all of us are crazy. However, when stupid thoughts cross our mind, when we don't find it in scripture, we quickly throw it away.
Yeah.
Ideas will come to your mind. But when you read your Bible, you say, well, leave that thing, Banky, leave that thing. The Banky, leave that thing. It's not like that. Why is that? Did you see Paul say that? Did Jesus say that? He said, look, that why, yeah, very funny thing, that why didn't Jesus Christ hand his mother over to Peter, that Peter was so poor. And you hear some of these things, and like, we cracked just when we were preaching, but let's, I said, like, is this a joke? Is this a joke? No, you must have been joking. Because if you were not joking, you'll have known John the Baptist. Of all men born of women, there was none. And Jesus knew what he was saying. He included Moses, included Abraham. Yet, we know his dress sense. We know his diet. And we know his accommodation. Thank you. He was staying in the Borja desert. And you're telling me that power will not be given to me, control will not be given to me, if I don't have mammon?
Yeah.
I mean, what kind of joke is that? It has to be a joke. Now, but you know why we get to that point? Money talks. If you have too much of it, it will be giving you revelation. Like one man of God, whose name I shall not mention, he said if they gave him an amount of money, he said he will call his father to tell the Igwe to park. Let me say it like that, so you won't know who. He said, I'll call my father in the village. He said, go and tell the Igwe to park, I'm coming. Then when he finishes parking, I will pay him off. Of course, we're laughing, we're just joking about that, but that's the kind of thing money does to you. You start having ideas. You start having revelation. You start hearing call to ministry. A lot of rich people have, John, what does it take to be called to ministry? It's not to pay for hall. You go to where they sell equipment. What are the latest models? Some people are still raising money. If God has blessed you, drop, we need to buy a new keyboard. You buy the keyboard factory. Money starts calling. And then you'll see pastors will be, the Lord has been saying to me, that they will leave one denomination and join you. See, to become a bishop, you can become. Mammon can make you a bishop. It's not hard. There was one guy that time, let me not mention his name again. You see, pastors will come and say, this is a real man of God. They have come here to learn. It's not true. He was paying them. Each pastor that says that, it's an amount of money he will give you. So they were joining his college of, well, he didn't call his own college of bishop, but they were all submitting to him. They were not submitting to anything. We came to submit to the great prophet himself. We see what God is doing in his life. It's not true. It's money. That's why God got angry one day and just beheaded the guy. Because he was corrupting not just himself. And even he was using money to corrupt even the servants of God. That's called the Jezebel spirit. That's what Jezebel is. That's why we start talking things that don't make any sense. How can you forget John the Baptist? How can you forget Paul? How could you have forgotten a man like Paul? Don't you even have respect? The same Bible you're holding? New Testament?
2/3 of it, only him composed it for you by the Spirit of God. And you've forgotten him and said, God would not have given. You know, I keep saying, I said, if Paul and Peter was around now, most of these pastors won't follow them. I've been saying that thing. I said, look, the way we preach, if Paul and Peter were around now, let them organize a program in Enugu, whether anybody will go there. Simon the Sorcerer, we have a parallel program. Everybody will go to rush to Simon the Sorcerer's program. People of God, what am I trying to say? Let's be careful. This is Christianity. It's a pursuit of holiness. This is Christianity. It's a pursuit of righteousness. This is Christianity. It's a pursuit of Christ-likeness. It's a pursuit of godliness. We regularly, listen to this, we regularly sacrifice earthly things, temporal things for eternal things. You know, if you see what Paul is saying here, which is why I started from here. Please, because this perseverance is what I'm preaching to us today as believers. This perseverance. First, let us know what we are going for. And let's know what to exchange for what. As a habit, be glad, be willing to exchange material things for eternal things. Did you hear what I said? See, make it, you see, there's an attitude, you know, we read that portion, where Paul said, if anyone, he said, there's an attitude you should have about things in life. And that's the attitude I'm giving you now. Be willing to exchange material things for eternal things. There's something my wife was, we were just pointing that. I said, look, well, it's something we all know anyway, just because it was the last conversation my wife and I had, one of those conversations that she said it again. He said, well, everybody is doing something. Just look at it. That's likely to be wrong. If everybody says this is the way forward, Christians or non-Christians, everybody going that way, go and settle down. Say, no, something is wrong along that path. It's a broad way. And many are on it. Listen, this life, let me explain this to you. The real enemies you have in life, you can't see them. They are not witches. Please, this witches thing, to me, is to spoil my message. But because of where we are, we have to keep saying it. The real enemies you have in life, first, you have enemies, you do. But they are not witches. It's not your uncle, it's nobody that you can see. It's clear, it's not flesh and blood. Where I'm going is that, do you know you have an enemy that is intelligent, even though you can't see him? He has a plan, even though you can't see him. He's scheming every day to steal something that is precious to you. But you don't even know it's precious. You are like Esau, willing to sell what is precious. Not knowing somebody is marking you, trying to collect it. See, that enemy, if he sees where you are making spiritual progress, he will offer you money to remove you from there. It's an intelligent being. See, let me say to you, in life, the real thing about life is the spiritual progress you are making. And that enemy you have, the enemy of your soul, he looks at it and listen. It's so sad. These fake prophets and false teachers, I don't know what they are saying. They think that Satan is trying to take your money. Satan says, what will I do with it? What will I do with it? No, Satan is wondering. These guys are really foolish. Do you think I spend money? If it will ruin your faith, I will give it to you. What I'm trying to take from you is your faith, not your money. That is, you are falling for me. Every time you say, my enemy, die. At least you are disobeying God. I leave you there. Because what Jesus said to you was for you to love your enemies. Do you get my point? What Jesus said to you was you to pray for those that hate you and despitefully use you. So when you are there and say, in this country, they will die. I shall do it, die. I leave you. I said, this one, case closed. I've seized this once. Let them be praying there. They are having meetings every day, praying every day. And Satan is happy. He will arrange hall for them for prayer. He will arrange everything. He says, Satan, why are you helping them? They are disobeying their Lord. And that's all I want. So every time they are coming to church, how about that? Today you will pray. Say, witches! Herod! My head is not, I'm not John the Baptist. Oh. My blood no be mortal Guinness. It's bitter. Oh, oh yeah, begin to say die. As I do none of that, Satan has gone somewhere else. He has gone somewhere else. You know why? He's captured that whole congregation. They will never make spiritual progress, and he's happy with it. Even the pastor will be happy with himself because Satan will help him. He will gather all the people that shouldn't make progress. The church, in 1 year, they'll go from 50 to 5,000. Do you know why? Because he has found a place, that is Satan, he has found a place where they can be captured, thinking they are serving God, but disobeying Jesus Christ every day. And then, if you're a pastor of five, even if all the people there are stingy, another 5% love you and they tithe to you. Are you aware that making it is your portion? What's the man I'm making? Satan? That's what he will do. He will help the man prosper. And please, again, I keep on saying it for pastors. It is not the message that increased the offering that God sent you to preach. I've seen it again and again. Ministers calibrating how good the message was by how large the offering was. Please bear this in mind. Satan can give money. You know, when people go there, Satan doesn't want to take your money. What he wants is whatever will take your faith. For example, if taking your money will take your peace, he will take the money. Do you follow my point? It is not the money that's the issue. It's that he knows that it will get your peace. If you really want to frustrate Satan, when your money is taken like that, what you should do is to just simply rest, worship. You know how frustrated Satan was when everything was taken from Job and he got on his knees and he said, the Lord gave and the Lord took and the Lord has taken. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He got on his knees and worshipped. My brother, that is how to prepare the devil. You want to prepare Satan? That is how you prepare him. See, what's the point I'm trying to make? See, you should know what Satan is gunning for in your life. You should know what he wants to collect. Please, pastors, teach it. He's not interested. Let me tell you something about the Lord. Okay? Let me tell you something about the Lord. You know, he said something to David, which is very important. After David took Uriah's wife and murdered Uriah, now you remember what God said to him. He said, you know, you're a small boy. You were nobody. I took you and made you king over my people. I gave you your master's house. I gave you everything. What I like is a portion. I said, if that was not enough, but I'm not giving you more. Let me tell you how I'm strategizing my life, my plan for my life. I want to get to a place where God says, anything you ask, I will give you. Because he can. See, please, you must understand what God is doing. By the time you get to that place, you understand? He realizes that things don't matter to you anymore. Do you get? He just knows that this one is not good. So, no, you get to a level, you understand, that God knows that if you ask for anything, the reason must be good. He won't even question it. Who is that? It's not him. I beg give him. And the point is that he can. There's nothing he can't give. The problem we have as Christians is that we have made the mistake of teaching. Oh God, this is so terrible, so terrible. I said there is a trick for persuading the Lord. Why you need the trick is that you're not trustworthy. That's it. You're not faithful. That's why you need the trick. Otherwise, you could have just simply said, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. One sentence, Ishmael lives. God is going to fight against
a whole region, two major cities and small ones, you know, there. Okay? Small, about two other ones. Sodom and Gomorrah. And you stand there. Say, Lord, Abba, what if there are 50 righteous people? Don't destroy the place now. We still destroy them. Because you accept if there are 50 righteous people. Now, you don't live there. But you are that powerful with God. As I was about to leave, he said, 50. Say, these people, iniquity people. How will God see 50? Say, dear Lord, I beg. If it's only 45, we'll go. Abraham, 45? Yeah. You keep on dragging and dragging until you get to 10. God said, okay, Abraham, no problem. 10. Now, this is what I, now, what I want to add now is not in scripture, just my thoughts. Dear Lord, what if there are only 5? God said, how about Abraham? Said, I don't try now. Now, that's the, I think that's how the conversation went. Abraham, 5 in this whole place, should they leave? Huh? You look all over the place, only 5 people. The Lord lets you understand that 5 is too small now. Come on. Why am I even agreeing for that thing? Let me be honest with you. It's just one more year hope of revival. It's not like I want only 10. I just hope 10 will become 100. 100 will become 1,000. If I see progress, and Abraham, that would be good. Abraham said, okay. So if 10 is the least you can take, yes, I think 10 is all right. Is that okay with you? Abraham said, 10 is okay. And God sends if Abraham was sitting lying down, he's watching. His phone rings. As soon as he has a phone, he's a Lord on the phone. No, it's an angel on the phone. Abraham, we couldn't find 10. Sorry. And Abraham said, all right. Sorry, does it not even feel good? If God did that with you, will you care whether you were rich or poor? What do you really think the Bible says one day in your courts? It's because of things like this. So God can know me so well. Do you know, if the Lord Jesus, for example, physically comes and shakes your hand, you know you will bandage that hand. When you want to bathe, you raise it up. If any of your children fall sick, you quickly unwrap it and lay hands, expecting the fellow to get well. And you wrap it back. What are you saying? What is your hand wrapped? He touched me. He touched me. Do you know, you'll just be so excited about it. You look at that hand that the Lord walked and shook your hand. Please, let's understand that is what God is building. You know, He's not building rich people. He's not building pastors that have 10,000 people in their congregation. What He's building is individuals who He can look at and say, this one is righteous, really before me. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. So Paul said, now, like I said, that's what he's building. So Paul said, what is the attitude we are supposed to have? Now remember, it's an attitude. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Back to that Philippians chapter 3, yes. It's an attitude. Now, what is the attitude? Brethren, please listen to this. I read a number of things for us. Yes. First, let's go to verse 7. Whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Now, look at what he said. I consider all these things garbage. Because I want to gain Christ. And when he's talking about gaining Christ, so you can easily understand, he's talking about gaining the knowledge of Christ. He's getting to know Christ. He said, it is a thing I'm going for. I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. I count those things garbage. So that it might be found in him. He now went on to say something here. I want to know Christ. Please follow this. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection. Please let me say this again. In spiritual things, knowledge is not intellectual acquaintance with facts. Knowledge confers authority. Knowledge confers what? Power. If you know, for example, the truth, you become free. You've not done anything, no. You just got to what? Know.
Spiritual knowledge is two things combined there. It's, okay, number of things combined. One, becoming acquainted with the facts. Becoming persuaded. Are you getting my point? And then last of all, acknowledging that which you know. That is, you're so, you know, you boldly declare that you know. That's what they call knowledge spiritually. Now, what I'm learning is that does not just give you information. It gives you power. It gives you authority. It gives you the power to do that which God wants to execute through you. That's what knowledge does. It makes the power of God flow towards you. For example, now the Bible says she heard about Jesus, the woman with the issue of blood. Now, because she heard about Jesus, she now said, if I may but touch. She had not done anything. She just became convinced, and then she acknowledged that fact. And listen, when she touched, all she needed to do now was just get to the... There are those who are begging to see Jesus Christ. I don't need to see him. There are those who are saying, come to my house. He said, she doesn't need to come to my house. What do I need? I just need to touch the hem of his garment. And as because of that knowledge and acknowledgement, as soon as she did, what happened? Power flowed. The power went through. Went through so much that Jesus Christ paused, that somebody touched me. So don't forget, knowledge in spiritual things is not just that your head is full of information. I mean, you think about it. The soldiers of Aram, they surrounded the mountain to come and capture Elisha. He knew something. Are you getting my point? He knew. Listen, how did Paul give his life to Christ? Saul. Somebody preached to him. Jesus just said, but why would he fight? That's all. Do you know? The Lord just appeared to him and said, Saul, what's this fight all about? The moment he knew that the Lord was alive, he was automatically saved. Salvation was automatically his own. The moment he found out that Jesus was alive, salvation was automatically his own. I hope you're getting my point here. So listen, in spiritual things, okay, knowledge is not just that you have facts in your head. Now, what I'm talking about is that, do you know, a lot of struggles we have in life, God said these are the struggles of people who are filled with ignorance. Now, having explained that, let me just go on to explain something here. I've not really gotten to the main message I was trying to preach today. What I've been saying so far, you understand, is for us to just get certain things right, you understand? Just to get our hearts set in the right direction. Please, let's value the things that are eternal. Let's value the things that are excellent. Please, brethren, many of the things that we, you know, regard highly, God does not regard them highly. Do you understand? So what Paul is teaching us here is that the knowledge of Christ is a high thing. And let me explain this again. Christians, we keep on increasing in knowledge. God, you know, you give your life to Christ, you become a believer. There are realms to climb into. Every time in your life or every season, God is expecting you to go from one realm to the other. And this is revealed or this is actualized in the knowledge of progressive revelation of Christ Jesus. And only comes to you because you pursue it. I said something earlier, okay? And that's the fact that you should always be willing. The attitude you should have is that of what? Willing to give up material things for eternal things. Now, there's a message I recommended here some time ago that was read by Derek Prince, titled Progressive Commitment. I'll recommend that we listen to it. If you can get that message, please listen to it. It's very important. Some things I'm saying today, you find that he preached along those lines. What I want to emphasize to us as believers is this. Just listen to this very, very carefully. As you increase in the knowledge of God, as you increase in the knowledge of truth in life, one thing that happens to you is that every level of knowledge you acquire or you enter into makes a demand of you. Did you hear what I said? Every level of knowledge, every level of truth that God takes you into makes a new demand of you. The reason why people don't make progress spiritually is because usually they are not willing to pay that price. Every time, listen to this, you get to a new level of truth, it will make a demand of you. Truth never leaves you the same. Truth will tell, will change the way you talk. It will change the people you associate with. It will change your pursuit of anything. Could be your career, could be your, could be your business, the way you live in your home. This is an interesting thing. Even the way you dress. You know, there's one thing Paul explained to us, all right, which is very important. When he was writing to the Corinthians, this is Corinthians or the Romans. Sorry now. When he said that some people eat meat, some people don't eat meat in a particular way. Okay, the Romans, yes. Now, that tells you something. What you can eat depends on what you know. Do you understand? And there's a way you will know certain things, you won't eat some things also. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Now, you have to be careful in this life never to fight the truth that God has given you. It's very important in this life that you do not oppose the truth that God has given you. Truth tells you what you can eat, what you can't eat, like I told you. Truth allows you to eat what you were not eating before. Now, listen to this. Sometimes truth demands you to eat what you don't want to eat. Yeah. When God makes you a personification of truth, every time you enter into knowledge, truth comes to you, you become a representation of that truth. And it starts making a demand of what you do and what you don't do. I'll give an example. There is a meeting, or there was a meeting. Or no, let's just say there's a meeting called of Christians from different parts of the world. And you get there, your name is Andrew, you are Philip, you are, give me a Greek name. Apollos, yes. Aquila, you understand? Demas. And then you also come from Jerusalem and your name is Peter. And they start serving food. And because you're Peter, they put your food on one side. Because you're Paul, you also came. Your brother Paul came. Put your food on one side. Nay, Paul also. Know what truth will tell you? Take that plate. Go and sit next to Apollos. They are Greeks. They are Romans. They are not Jews. They are Gentiles. Truth will say, take that plate. Go and eat with them. But Peter, who had the revelation of the truth, who knew that God had made two into one, who knew that there's no longer any distinguishing feature, that is, there's no distinguishing between Jew and Gentile. The same God is rich unto all that call upon him. The truth that God had revealed to him, he didn't want to offend the people that came from James in Jerusalem. He withdrew, and truth spoke to Paul. Get up and rebuke this. Because if you don't, this is what, see, when you're a leader, it's not everything you do, say, I don't want to cause trouble. There are times you must cause some trouble. I was in the church many years ago. Pastor was preaching powerfully. On how without tithing, you cannot prosper and all of that. How many people in this church have been tithing regularly? Of course, you know the way it is. Nobody, see, there are very few churches on earth where people can say they are doing regularly. Very few. So normally, few hands went up. So those who would, okay. All right, so he wants to give everybody a second chance. So you will stand up now. If you say, from now on, you'll be regular with your tithing. What is tithing? You take 10% of your income, you come to, you know, all those kind of things. The whole church stood up. I sat there squarely. 2 years before, I would have stood up. Lest I give them offense. But at that time, I said, no, this offense has become part of my ministry. I have become a teacher. People are looking left and right. There was a church I stopped going at a time because anytime somebody says something on the pulpit, eyes go to my side to see what I have to, how my body's reacting. So I'm forced to maintain a stiff face. Whether I like a message or I don't like a message. So I stopped going. That whole church, everybody stood up. They must have wondered, which kind of human being is this? This is a guy who truth has told to teach the liberty of Christ to Christians. I cannot support this.
I don't have anything wrong with people giving the way they want. It's their money. They can give 10%, they can give anything. But the way this man has explained, if I stand there, if I stood up that day, God will have judged it. Yeah. There are things you do as a believer. Say, lest we give them offense. And they don't matter. Like I was talking with our brother yesterday. He says, in his church, he has a nice phone, a fold. All right? So when he goes to teach Bible study in the church, he opens his phone. Do you understand? Which it becomes a big screen. And he's teaching from it. And people have complained in the church. How can he be preaching from his phone? Now, and I told him, I said, listen, lest you give them offense, get a big tab. It looks like a folder. He says, it's true, you give it a thought. What he's doing, there's nothing wrong with it. I said, but you're causing offense needlessly. The senior people in church, they don't listen to you because you look like you're not serious. Nothing wrong with it. Do you know? David Paulson says, if you put your hand in your pocket when you are preaching, you're not a serious person. But you know, I put my hand in my pocket, in my trouser, on my do you follow my point? Now, where I'm going is that, but if I had to preach in this congregation, this hand will never enter the pocket. There are those who believe that if you move around as a preacher, you're not serious what you are saying. Yeah. A real preacher, moving around like this. A real preacher should stand there. Now, so, where I'm going about, you see, those are not important things. Those are the areas where I just say, don't give them offense. So if you enter that kind of church to preach, what are you doing moving up and down? What are you looking for? Do you follow my point? You're standing in front. However, there are things that have to do with doctrine. They have to do with the lives of the people after they leave that place. Every statement you make, when you are a preacher, when you are a leader, when you are an apostle, the moment Peter withdrew from eating with the Gentiles, Paul had to speak up. That was truth making a demand. Truth was making a demand. My brother, you cannot show to the people by your actions that there is a separation of Jews and Gentiles. It is not allowed. It is not allowed. Truth makes that kind of demand on you. A new Christian gives his life to Christ. You go to the family house and they pray. Somebody pours libation, pours a bit of drink down. And you're a new Christian, not a big deal. Now, that drink you poured is to not nobody. It's emptiness. Are you getting my point? Yeah. So you drink. They share the drink, you drink. Then one day, you get revelation. God is increasing you. And you suddenly realize you are a light. And then you understand that when they pour libation, it's trying to tell the gods not to be offended with their ceremony. That the libation is actually poured to traditional gods. Because as you know, culture is a cloak of religion. So next time you go to that same house, they serve you a cup of wine. You say, I'm not drinking. Say, why? Say, because that guy that opened the bottle poured libation from it. My Jesus is not on the ground. He doesn't take our drink. I lift up my hands before him in thanksgiving. I'm not taking a drink. Thank you very much. I'm not taking your wine. Get me another bottle. I will open it. I will give thanks while you guys watch and declare him Lord over this community. Otherwise, I'm not drinking. After a while, now, this is what a lot of people don't understand. After a while, people now go, in that village, we Christians don't join them to drink. That was not the issue. The day they stop pouring libation, you will join them to drink. Then somebody say, we want to thank God who blessed us, the gods of the heavens and the earth, the God of the heaven and the earth, even if they don't know Jesus Christ, you will still join them to drink because Paul said, the one who you worship as unknown. So just give that one to them. But to Obatala, Amadioha, that you poured libation so that I will not be angry when I drink. The one in my mouth, I spit it in his face. And if you can do something, it should come off. Truth! Truth. See, truth makes a demand on the money you take and the money you don't take. Yeah. One day, our brother here, you know who I'm talking about. He was a big pastor in one of their churches. An assistant to the Oga Patapata. Then the church, now listen, Christians sometimes maybe we don't know. The church wanted to buy land. The church had a committee. The church went to purchase land and paid. So he sat in his office one day and they came and gave him an envelope. The church committee people. He said, "What is that?" He said, "That is his share in the agency fees." Did you hear what I said? Commission on land sale. We are in this church. We contributed money to buy land. You guys went to finish the deal. Then you took commission on this sale. And you are sharing it. They brought the money to him. He wasn't looking for it. He just said, "What is this about?" "You know that land now. We have paid. This is a commission for facilitating the deal." So he took the money and ordered everybody. We are here raising the money from the congregation.
Yes.
You, members of the congregation, are collecting a cut on the deal. Do you plan to go to heaven? The way we behave sometimes, it's as if our plan for heaven is not strong. There's money that truth will take you into. I say, "Bring it back." He ordered them, good enough, him, the pastor. He called everybody, "Yeah, whatever they gave you that money, I want it back now. Everybody, go and gather your money. So just go and return it to the church. I don't want any trouble." See, this one even looks like a big thing. There are levels of truth you will enter into. Some things that will look trivial. You understand? Why do you think, prophets live by gifts and offerings. You've seen this all over scriptures. So you give to a prophet because he's a prophet. It's in the Bible. Yet Naaman came one day and gave. And truth said to Elisha, "It is not the time." There's a revelation he had. Now, where I'm going is this. See, there's something about truth. Let me just tell you. Anytime truth reveals something to you, until you obey that thing, you're stuck there till Jesus comes back. And God has a certain length of time during which you must be converted and start obeying this level of truth. See, let me tell you something about Christianity. Jews had how many laws under Moses? How many laws did they have? Apart from 10, they had how many other ones? 603. Yeah. Making everything 613. Christianity, God puts a spirit. The only thing the Spirit tells you is just two things. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Thou shalt love your brethren as yourself. That's all. Then the Spirit starts working on you. By the time you pass through this life, every new year, you have a new commandment. Every new year, you have a new commandment. Your commandments, personal commandments, increase according to the level of truth you have. Don't worry, they're not hard. All the ones before it becomes normal part of your life. The law, it says, is in my heart. You start doing them without thinking. But each time you have to move to another level, God has to bring you to a new level of truth. And when he does that, he makes a demand. It should be hard initially. But then you will exercise yourself until you obey that truth. This example comes to mind. I'm not saying I'm on that level. I just want to give you an illustration. There are people that the revelation God has given them, I've heard them say it. It is so such that they cannot have money in their account. Know what I hear myself? That is, once they look at the account and money has accumulated, they must spend it. If they don't spend it, that means if there's no need, they must give it out. They will go to church, drop it off. Just why? He said money is in the account. It's causing problems. And it's real revelation for them. It's real truth. They're not joking about it. Just check his balance. Bam. 2.5 million there. For what? And not just, he looks, money, quickly. He looks around the house. Anything to do, no. Maybe in a church, or someone say, "Good morning, sir. Well, yeah, I was just thinking, you see, how much?" He won't even let you finish. He said, "He's just 500. He just wires the money to you. So that's why God sent it. Because God has revealed to that individual that, see, the way your life is. I told you, Demos Shakarian was running a business. Truth spoke to him and said, "What are you doing there?" You see, there are two questions you must always answer. Where are you? And what are you doing there? It's very important. God had to ask him, what are you doing there? Hey, I can't give some things now because they're embarrassing, you know, personally. There are things I will do because they're back here. Leave that in there. This one you are trying to explain to me. The explanation is long because it's not true. It's money. I'm not saying you're a thief, but you want to earn from that. That's what is pushing you. So stop. I was talking with Bishop yesterday, our brother Bishop. I was just talking with him, and I was just downstairs. Something led to it. I won't give you details. I said, these people are supposed to pay me this and that, this and that. I said, but I've left it for them. He said, well, I said, how will I be driving from here to Nsukka? And then my car will have a flat tire and they enter into gutter. God will now come and say, what are you doing here? I said, how will I explain that I'm going to pursue? I said, Bishop, you said, check out. God will say, okay, this period you are here, how many messages will you have recorded in Kingdom World for Pastor Banky in 10? I will tell him, say, now, jack this car, turn around, go to the studio and do double that as punishment. So, sir, I've left the money for them. I said, the cost of pursuing it is too expensive for my life and ministry. Leave it. As if I start pursuing them now, it's pride. We were talking yesterday. I said, God will ask you, Mr. Bank, come. If I give an example, I said, God will say, do you remember they say, I gave you that money? Did you work for it? No. Why do you not want to die over the one you worked for? The one that you did not work for, I gave you. Now you want to kill yourself. Okay, should I give you only the money you worked for? So I said, Bishop, that is why I told the Lord, don't worry about it. See, let me tell you something. I've told you before. You use faith. There was something I was saying earlier. Let me not forget to say that. Oh, there are two things to say now. You use faith to put yourself on a particular path. I've explained it again and again. You can reverse your life, I'm telling you. And use faith to readjust things that happened years ago. Yeah. For example, you suffered a loss, you did a business, somebody took your money, somebody's owing you. All of those things. And it happened 2, 3, 4 years ago. As long as you are still angry till now, it's still working. The negative spirit is still working. But you can go back into that place and get on your knees. In your heart and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, the Lord gives and the Lord takes. The Lord gave me and he took this one. Father, I thank you because you took it. I give you praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. That was 3 years ago. 2 weeks later, the guy wants to pay you back. Ah, I say, bro, you came too late. Why? I told the Lord he took it. Don't worry about it. See, don't be tempted to take that money. If you must, as soon as he's giving you, rush off to church, rush off to the needy, quickly waste the money. I said, Lord, I remember, I gave it to you. Yeah. I heard of one brother. He gave a man money to buy him a car. Have you ever been in that situation where story will now start? Story will go up, story will go down, go left, go right. After a long time, he now went to church, somebody now preached. I don't know whether it's church or, but he now got revelation. He now called the guy. He said, I just want you to know that this deal didn't work out. You can keep the money. An African man, they tell you keep the money like that. A lot of times you become afraid. So that guy went and looked for the money after a while, a few days later, and paid him back. The guy called him, saying, like, you don't understand what I said. I said, I have forgotten the money. That guy said, no, you can't. He paid him back. It now became tug of war. He knew where to pay that money to, so he returned it to that account. He said, you don't understand. I'm not angry with you. Because the guy meant it. I don't want the money back. Do you know, in 1 week, he got 2 cars. God that said forget, he knew what he wanted to do. Now, I have a way. I don't like finishing this story like this, because a lot of people will now be obeying, waiting for 2 cars. Please, most of you that with what I have said will get nothing. But you'll have obeyed God. And please, obedience to God should satisfy you. Yes, once you know that God is pleased, you should be happy. Yes, it should make you happy to know the Lord is pleased with you. That week, I've forgotten the story, but his wife's story is the second car. He got to work. The wife's boss said, come, You have been failed. This next, they issued that official car, almost brand new. That was for his wife. I've wondered how he got his own. Two of them in like a week. Or if I'm mistaken, not more than a month. Not up to a month. I think it's within a week. But I just like to tell that story to let you know that God is actually, he does those things. Now, for many of us, he may not tell you. He just, forget it is forget it. And like I say all the time, yesterday I was still praying. I said, Lord, I don't know about you, Sha, but I said, God, what I need in this life, man. If you say, bank, what do I do for you? I said, give me peace of mind. There's a word, shalom. Give me shalom in my heart and everywhere around me. Bless the people that are closely associated with me. Don't let me be awake at night worrying about anybody. Give me peace. There was a time I knelt down and prayed. If I need this EDC, I prayed that God will give me peace from you people. I'm telling you, I will get up at night and go and kneel and say, God, give me peace from these people until he finally gave me peace. Because, anyway, let's not go over their matter. If you have been there, you've been there. Until finally God settled me, they replaced my meter. Finally, one of those days, tall reverend, may the Lord bless him. He went there. He helped me out a lot of those things. So he went to the place. He now said, sir, that there's this 100,000 at once that say we should pay. I'm contesting it. Because I said, hey, I said, how much? 100K. I wired him the money before he could think. Pay them. I said, if that's what, I didn't feel I should pay. Do you get my point? I said, but I asked the Lord for peace. And they asked me for 100 to get the full peace. I said, no. I said, no. Don't argue with them. I said, is that all? I said, verify this, verify that. He said, after this, there's nothing. I said, you're sure? I said, give them the money. I gave them the money, even though I didn't feel I owed it to them. And then I had peace. So sometimes, this money matter we're talking about. I said many years ago, one guy, this is not today now. I mean, you know this old CNS? Long ago, the guy said he was going to let me buy it from a neighboring country. I said, how much? We agreed on 1.2 million. Then, not now. And they make a long story short. In about two installments, I gave him the whole money. Where's the car now? The story started. Story started like this, like that. It went left, it went right. Like I told you, this story I'm telling you is nothing like that. It's quite a while ago. 1.2 million I gave one guy that time. One of my friends said, Banky, and you're still sleeping. I said, over 1.2 million. I said, man of God, leave that thing. I said, I've received the money off. The guy now come on, they say, please, sir, can he come? That he has one small trouble, that he just needs 40,000 naira, and then my car will show up in Enugu. I said, you don't understand. 1.2 million, I've lost it. 40,000 naira is in my pocket. It's still my own. I ain't giving you. The guys were big, under of his friends, so we started making calls. One of the guys said, he has seen the car. This is the truth that so one of the people that helped him do, you know, fix something is owing the person. The person has seized the car. I said, I'm not giving them any. He said, I said, that 1.2, I have forgotten it. And God knew I meant it. If he didn't give me all the money back, I wasn't going to bother. But what I'm talking about is the story. My friend was saying, I said, I'm not going to do anything. I said, it's money. Maybe you don't understand. I said, you don't understand. The day I finished paying him, I had finished paying. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. I'm not owing anybody. No policeman will arrest me. It's not an investment that if I will now be, maybe it's my Uber car. It's not. It's for my wife to drive, carry her, is it two or three children you had that time? And, I said, we'll just manage until God provides another money. Why am I telling the whole story? I said, my peace of mind is more expensive than what you are taking me through. So if it's to write off the whole money to buy my peace of mind back, I will. You can't take my money and take my peace with it. Take the money. I collect my peace. I must. It's called the peace of God that passes all understanding, which means that it doesn't mean they didn't take your money when you have that peace. They just don't understand why you do are not troubled. And I said, there are two things I wanted to say. The other one was saying, that when truth comes, brethren, You must separate the light from the darkness. You either, you know, somebody say, oh God, please, God help us. I see a lot of our Christians who again are committing a sin that God judges of mixing Christianity with Judaism. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Jesus doesn't like it though. There's what is called Jerusalem from above. There's Jerusalem from beneath. There's the son of Hagar. And there's a son of the promise. They are two different. You have to choose one. You can't have both of them. You will be a sinner if you contribute a dime of your money to build a physical temple in Jerusalem for Jesus to come back to. It's iniquity. See, a lot of spiritual things we do, we are begging for judgment. What happened to Peter? He didn't want to agree to just separate the light from the darkness. What is darkness? The separation between Jews and Gentiles. What is light? Both of us are now in Christ. The wall of partitioning has been broken. Anytime truth comes to you, it makes certain demands. You have to go against the grain a lot of times. And that is where a lot of people get stuck spiritually. They can't make that change. They can't make that progress. They are not willing to make that sacrifice. Truth always demands. When Paul entered into the truth, and he said, now please understand this. He said, even though I've entered this truth, I was challenging Peter, yet I have not yet attained. I don't know whether I hear what I said. That even though I had entered a particular level of truth, enough for me to stand up and tell Peter, what you're doing is wrong. He said, not that I have already attained it yet. See, I want to enter into an area where me and a lot of brethren, we quarrel a lot. Not too many brethren, just a few. But I will enter it because I need to help you. How many of you saw the thing I posted the other day? It was on my status. So if you have my phone number and we chat, will you have seen it? I said, how did I say it again? Those of you saw it. What was the first thing? Moderate the second. Give thanks. Practice moderation. And be happy, especially in sharing. And forget all these diet fads. How many people remember what they call, you saw this and they call them, intermittent fasting. It's kind of trending now. Yeah. BBC published a report on a study that was published that assessed it over the last, 10 years or so? And what they found out is this. Now, they may be wrong. I'm not saying this is a scientific fact. But what the scientists found out is that those who practice it are more likely to have heart disease. If they would not have died, the chance of dying has increased. So at the end of the day, they don't know. They know it. They said it works in an area, it kills in some areas. So basically, is it good or bad? They say they don't. Now this report is, you can still find it. It's just about it's the last 1 week. That was when I said, "She have been warning you before." That no, I know. You see where I'm going in a moment. This was just in the last few days. That there's one of my classmates posted. And I laughed and laughed. You know what they call body mass index? A sign of obesity and weight and all of that. There was a story. Sorry, you see why I'm laughing. They said, go for BMI of below 25. So they said that those who have very, very high one, they have a lot of problems. Okay? But those who have the one that's recommended, they say overall, they don't live as long as those who exceed it. They get 25 to 30, you know? Now, listen to what I'm going to say. They say, they are trying to do further studies to check whether it is a methodology error. I said, why are you not arguing over the result that you have published? They said, no, they need to check whether it's a methodology error. I said, see what I'm saying. You know what? They will find out that it is a methodology error. Do you know why? They made up their mind. On the surface, the evidence does not support the doctrine. Now, you see what I'm going all of this thing. When God gives you a revelation and you see the face of Christ concerning the length of your life, the health of your life, your strength in old age,
As part of it, he demands you get away from this darkness.
You will not be able to hold on to the light of Christ, the revelation of Christ, and be pursuing these people as they are tossing you to and fro by every window of their doctrine. After a while, you know what God will say? Okay, go and follow them. For Christians, let me tell you, the day that you're supposed to depart from this earth has been written. Or is being written. If you don't like the one that God has written, if he were to show it to you, and his own writing is not punishment, though, if you are working with the Lord. It's usefulness and fulfillment of assignment. It's when you don't have understanding, you don't have revelation, you think this earth is to die for. Let me tell you, there are a number of things, there are not too many, that God is achieving with your life on this earth. And once that is done, you're going. And if you have understanding, you won't beg him to stay there longer. Yeah. He's transforming you into the image of Christ. He has work for you to do on this earth. You have to manifest him. All right? That's one, two. I've given two. Three, there is, of course, as part of that two, let's just put that number three. There's an assignment he wants you to perform. There's grace he has given you. He said, go and help my people inherit the promised land. Once they have taken the promised land and they are done, you have to leave. For John, he said, go and introduce the bridegroom. And the bridegroom waited for John to enter into custody before he started preaching. When Jesus heard that John had been taken into custody, he began to preach. So the Lord Jesus and the Father, they knew that John would never come out of that custody. Because if he did, the Lord would have had to stop preaching. The beheading of John was not Herod's issue. It was a decision from heaven. If he did not behead John, he would have had to be taken like Elijah was. I mean, so he had to go because he had finished his assignment. The last one, which I see, what preserves you on this earth, what keeps you not preserved, what keeps you on this earth, is like Paul said, he looks around the church in Ephesus. He said, I need to bless these people. Does he need me for some more time? Are you getting my point? He said, for that reason, I think I will stay. So you guys should pray because they are the ones he was thinking of. That's Ephesus. That's what I said. I meant to say Philippi, the Philippian church. All right, in the church in Philippi. He said, all right, you guys pray, the supply of the Spirit, I will be released. He said, that's my hope. Why? Because he saw. He said, for me to depart and be with the Lord is far better. He said, how nevertheless, because of your faith, what I can contribute to your faith, I should stay. So you guys pray. If you did not pray, I will go. Because you guys don't want me. So if they prayed, he would stay. They prayed and he stayed. Which is the fourth thing I want to add to it. Your loved ones that you are impacting. People that you are impacting. As long as you are impacting them, and they appreciate it, and they offer a word of prayer. That's why I keep saying, please, if you don't want to die suddenly, stop offending everybody. You know, if you die, say, you don't die. Nonsense. Then you will die. Do you come? Because people, no, it's not their curse. It's that they are not offering any prayer with the supply of the Spirit for the preservation of your life. If you are really blessing people, and they are praying for you, those things will deliver you from death. They will deliver you from sickness. You will fall sick and you will be healed. How many things I count now? Four. The other peripheral things. If you love life, keep your mouth from telling lies. Stop spreading falsehood. Pursue peace. See, if anybody doesn't give me high blood pressure, look for scissors, and slice the person out of your life. Or go and learn how to keep. I don't mean take medicine, no. I mean like, inner peace. You will not trouble my soul. You are driving on the road. All the drivers are troubling you. Go and look for therapy, and spiritual therapy. That start driving such a man, you don't notice anybody again. Don't let anybody put you under unnecessary stress. Seek peace. Pursue it. That's what the Bible says.
Having said all of these things, now, all everything I've told is from scripture. That's what keeps your life. Don't let anybody wake up tomorrow and say they found out that. Do you know they actually said, if you sit down, you will die? The moment I read it, I just said nonsense. So what should I do? Run to and fro like the devil. Those who run to and fro, they don't die happy. He says, sitting is the new smoking. I say it's a lie. What I'm doing with all of this, so what does truth do? Anytime truth comes to you, brethren, it makes demands. And the problem people have is that the demand of truth, and if you don't fulfill the demand of truth, please get what I'm trying to say. You will not be blessed by that truth. Yeah. Every time truth comes, it makes a demand. And if you don't fulfill the demand that truth is making of you, you will not be, you shall know the truth, it shall set you free. See, it's a process. You get to know the truth, it tells you, this is my demand. This is my demand. When you meet the demand, then the freedom that truth promises will become yours. The problem a lot of people have is that they want to, you know, there's something Joshua also said, choose you this day who you will serve. Whose report will you believe? A lot of people, you know what we are doing? We don't want to choose. Choose you this day who you will serve. I will serve God though, but I love the world. Now, some things cannot be done. Love of the world. Here's another definition. What is it? Enmity of God. You see, when you love the world, God didn't say that, hey, loving the world is not good. He said, God said, you are my enemy. Anyone that loves the world is an enemy of God. You know the problem we're having in Christianity? And I think it's modern day Christianity. I have decided, you know the song? To follow Jesus. What's the next line? It's still one. I mean, the next stanza. No, that's the third stanza. Yes, that's the one. That's what I was looking for. You take the whole world and give me Jesus. I'm satisfied. Yeah, that's the problem we have. We don't like that. I have decided to, all of us you are jamming now. Let them sing the next line. You take the whole world and give me. What we want is, you give me Jesus, the world is all mine. You give me Jesus, the world is all mine. Because it's Jesus, he can do all things. No turning back. Only. Do you get my point? Barawo, one by one. I'm telling you, all these Oyoshis, what they are looking for, they don't want to leave the world and follow Jesus. They will follow Jesus as long as he brings the world along with them. That, I say that by the Spirit of God, is a major problem of today's Christianity. We like to negotiate. Let me say it again. There is no negotiating. You can't tell God what he must do for you and the condition of which you will follow him. Once you give the Lord condition, I just want to tell you, you did not know, maybe you are hearing it for a minute for the first time, if you gave the Lord condition, he did not accept it. You have been pursuing something. He has sent me today to tell you, if you made an agreement with the Lord, the agreement did not agree. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Please let me say it again, brethren. This is the word of the Lord. I did not make any agreement with anybody. I did not make any. What I offered is salvation, period. And as people say that, he accepted Jesus as a savior. That does not exist in scripture. You cannot accept Jesus as your savior. Please, let's get it clear. You only take him as Lord. So, this is his own agreement. When you take me as Lord, I will save you. Shikena. A lot of people are accepting Jesus as savior. And Jesus said, it doesn't work like that. That's not how the deal works.
You accept him as what? Lord. Salvation is a gift given to those who accept Jesus as Lord. You cannot come to him and say, be my savior. No! It is be my Lord. Salvation is a gift he gives to those that are his own. I'm going somewhere. So when you are his own, you become his own. Do you get my point? Yeah, yeah. I have a car, all right? Even though it doesn't have a mind, but you know where the car goes? Who can tell me where the car goes? Where I want, thank you. It's where I want. You know who drives the car? Whosoever I approve, thank you. You know what the reason why? Who can tell me the spiritual reason why? Because it's my car. Thank you. That's revelation. Did you hear that? When you own something, you actually do own it. And when you do own it, you have the right over it. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, that for your information, giving your life to Christ is just a nice way of saying, because the truth is that you are worth nothing. We're dead in your sins. Dead people. They're selling corpses. You're one of the corpses he bought. And he gave life to. And after giving you life, he decides what you do. That is why, think about it, there's no logic in making an agreement with him. How can a dead person make an agreement with the one who will give life? And once you think you have a negotiating power with the Lord, again, you have denied his lordship. You mean I can't negotiate? No, you can't. You can't. Can you make requests? Of course. That is the father side of this whole thing. You can make requests. You can walk up to the Lord. Dear Lord, I will like this. And please, it's not a killed joy. People understand this thing. It's not a killed joy. You know, this thing is nice. If you ask the father now, you won't agree. Why? Because it's not evangelistic. No. People think the Lord is only interested in evangelism. It's not true. It's not true. It's not true. No. It is not true. Twice in my life, I have prayed and planned to get a particular car. Twice. In fact, three times. I'm sure it's more than that. And the Lord looked at it and laughed and gave me a better one. Three times he's done it. What I asked him for, he looked and said, Bank, this is not good. I will do something better for you. Some of you have been looking here. You have been looking for a three-bedroom flat. And then God said, you see, you don't understand. In 1 year, your wife will born twins. Then I will give you a 10-year-old to adopt. This house will be too full, so don't worry. Then you will pay for that three-bedroom flat. And then they will disappoint you. And God said, see this boy or this girl, whether he will enter into what I've prepared depends on how he responds to this disappointment. Like I said to Bishop yesterday when we were discussing, I said, Bishop, I have taken my life and given it to the Lord. So if you take my money, I assume the Lord took it. Even if you're a thief. So I don't chase you, I chase the Lord. I say, Lord, I kept 10,000 naira here. What are you doing with my money? As God said, that's how I pray. Look, I said, Lord, I remember the day I traveled for weeks. When I came back, my wife was waiting outside at the airport in Lagos. Then that ring leader that keeps carrying your luggage. What do you call it, Olori? Eh? Okay, Karaoli, you know, that kind of thing. That. Is that not what she called? The thing suddenly stopped. My bag didn't come. Two big bags. I'd been away from home for 6 weeks. So I got, when I go to the hotel where I stay in Lagos, I asked my wife, what is the Lord doing with my bags? That's where I'm going. I said, Lord, what are you doing with my bags? I had enough problems waiting for me already. I said, why are you now holding my bags? That's where I'm going. That's how I pray my prayer. That is how I do my thing. Say, Lord, what are you doing with my bags? Can I have my bags back? I got them back after 2 days. But listen,
If I never got the bags back, I'll tell my wife, see all the things I brought for you and the kids, the Lord has taken them. I'll fill papers and all that, I'll go home. Say, the Lord has taken. You can deliberately, I keep saying, put your life in God's hands. If you keep on saying, Bola Tinubu, God say, okay, I hereby donate you to the control of man. But when you wake up in the morning, whatever decision they make, all things will work together for my good. The Lord is for me. Oh, I like that scripture. Psalm 1:8, amongst those who help me. Do you get my point? That is, people are helping me. The Lord is chief amongst those who help me. And if the Lord is on my side, who can be against me? What is there to fear? And so, I remember, it might say about knowledge. I give a number of components. One, be acquainted with the fact, which is not all there is to it. Then full persuasion. And that was the last one I said. The acknowledging. That's one critical part of knowledge. First, the information enters your head. Then you are fully persuaded. It's called, how do you say it again? Epignosis in Greek. It's full persuasion. And then third, acknowledge. So when you know that the Lord is on your side, you open your mouth all the time and say, the Lord is on my side. Every revelation of truth, every level of knowledge, I said to you, we make demands. It will. And that's why a lot of people lose it. They are not willing to pay. I gave an example earlier. Revelation says, don't worry. That guy can't take your money. He's not the one that took the money. So suddenly you are not eager to be... Do you understand? You're not aggressive. You get revelation, God will say, that lawsuit, go and discontinue it. And let me tell you how Satan does. They will now come and laugh at you. He's afraid. He knows we will win. And if you, this is how you will lose with God. Say, hey, you think so? Then you pursue the suit again. You have to keep shut your ears from what people are saying. See, knowledge, oh my God. Every level of truth you have, we make. See, anything that's not making a demand on you, you don't know it yet. Yeah, it's not adjusting how you talk. It's not adjusting what you do. It's not adjusting how you relate to people. It's not adjusting what you let go. There are those who have enrolled in school. They pay school fees. The day they're supposed to start, God says, what are you doing here? You know, there's a way the Lord allows temptation. Sometimes you wonder, like, God, you knew when I left Enugu. You know when I paid school fee. You know when I went to UNN website. Why is that? It's when I drove. I've driven my car. I've reached Suzuka. It's when you're asking me, what am I doing here? When I entered the website, why didn't you ask, what are you doing here? When I was transferring school fees, and I've got here now to see my PhD director. What do they call them now? Supervisor, to come and show that I have come for PhD. That you're asking me, what am I doing here? You know, God kept on asking Elijah, what are you doing here? He said, they've killed all your prophets. Ah, only I. Ah, you are no Kemoti. I don't need to worry. He made him travel 40 days to Horeb. And when he got there, what was the first question I asked him? What are you doing here? Brethren, there are things you are doing. God said, what are you doing here? There are offices you've gone to resume for work. And God is saying, what are you doing here? And please, anytime God asks you, what are you doing here? Go and pray. It's a rebuke. It's a rebuke. It's always, see, let me tell you. Sometimes it says, see, what are you doing here? The answer is, I believe that my life is not moving forward. So the way to break it is to get a PhD. Say, God, God said, so they have gone to Egypt, but not by me. They have kindled their own fire. So when did you and I discuss about the movement of your life? Then you remember that it was when you went to listen to a motivational speaker. Yeah, you remember that they told you to perspire to acquire the desire that you admire. And that you're never to retire, but to refire. And you are right here refiring. And you realize that you have not sought counsel of the Lord. And you know, there are things that, you see, let me tell you something. When God asks questions sometimes, he knows that once you answer it honestly, you know how to proceed. You will know what to do. At that point that you look and say, God, can I get a refund on my school fees? You say, I beg now. This money is a lot. This guy's made me deposit 200K. You know. But they go home first. You just call the PA supervisor, sir, I'm not doing it again. Why? You don't like our school? I do. Why are you not doing it again? Last time I came to the office, as I stepped out, the Lord asked me, what are you doing here? And I go home and I prayed about it. I realized that I have no business getting a PhD. I'm taking time off a retreat. I want to go and pray. At the end of the go, we say, where are you working now? You tell him. Say, now. How many hours do you work? He say, 8 hours a day. Say, from now on, we work 10 hours in that same place. And they're not going to pay you extra. Please, can I beg you something? Eh? Let me ask this of you. Anytime you get such instruction from the Lord, don't ask yourself, so what am I getting for it? Just be sure it will please him. Because, you know, oftentimes, when I'm preaching like this, I could tell you the humanly good end, but I don't want that to be your motivation. Because sometimes, you know what, why your life has been on one spot? God said, you have worked here for 6 years, I have not found you faithful. He said, yes, I have not found you faithful. It's when you sit down, you start looking. Your pastor says, because your tithe was not complete. And so you start paying the whole tithe. You know what they call the whole tithe? Let me tell those of you who like bondage. Let me just explain it to you so you can enter it well. The whole tithe is the one before they remove dues, union dues. If your salary is 100,000 naira, after they remove union dues, tax, thank God the new tax bill say you won't pay tax from next year. Okay? But now you're still paying tax. So before they remove tax, union dues, which one? Pension, contribution, then health insurance. You know, all those small things that they, those small things that they line up. And I forgot the SMS alert that the bank collects. So what's the whole tithe? Before you remove all those, that one that is your pay slip, the one that hits your bank, let me tell you, it's not the whole title. Maybe at the end of the day, you get the 110,000 and you're not going to give God 11,000. See, your whole salary was 125 before deduction. So what you're supposed to give God is 12,500. That's the whole tithe. That's not complete. Was your birthday not last week? And that sister in church gave you a whole cake. Go on, you have to monetize it and give God a tithe of it. And that cake was a big one. It was a 40,000 naira cake out of love for you. You are owing God how much? 4,000. Should I continue whole tithe? All the free things they've been giving you, you have not been tightened on it. That's why your life is still tight. Please. This thing I've said in the last few minutes, if anybody ever preaches it to you, tell the person, it's a lie. It's not true. Unfortunately, you believed it for a long time. And so what you have been doing is adjusting your tithe. Because if your life is tight, you check your tithe. And if you are suffering, you should check your offering. You have checked all of those things and nothing has helped you. Now, what did the Lord say? You are not faithful where you walk. And that has not been told you. They say, be at work by 8. You usually get there. Now, listen to this. This is something funny. You usually get there 2 minutes to 8. Is that bad or good? Good. Joseph thinks it is good. They say, close at 4. Usually close 3 minutes past 4. Is that bad or good? Huh? Good. I'm happy. You are following the rules. You don't love the place. I'm happy you say you're following the rules. Once you're always following the rules, your heart is not there and God will never bless you. Mark those words. I told you Christians are marked out by their lifestyle, their attitude.
They said, leave at 4. No, I've been to. It's 4 o'clock. I beg. I don't go down here. God said, I will never bless you here. When I say it's 4, time to go. He said, oh, it's already 4. Wow. And I've not finished this. 15 minutes. Guys, wait for me. You continue walking. Guys, let's go now. The vehicle is about to leave. Please tell him 10 more minutes. You continue walking. Then you park the walk and you go home. Then, I promised my supervisor I'll have this thing ready by tomorrow. So next day, you are there by 7:15 to quickly make sure it is ready before 8. 8 o'clock, supervisor will come. Come, drop it on the table. Sir, it's ready. You actually love the work you do. You actually want to bless them. You're actually excited to be in that place. You are planning to live the next 1 or 2 years, but by the time you leave, you want to make your mark. How would they not know that a child of God came here? God said, that's what you have not done in 7 years. That's why I haven't blessed you. It's not because of your tithe. I see it before me all the time. I didn't ask for it, but it's good. At least you want to help your church. It's very nice of you. I've been seeing the offerings. It's very good. I'm not saying it's bad, but that's not why I bless people. 3 reasons we've talked about here before. When you want to make an investment for your future, what do you do? 1, faithfulness in little. 2, faithfulness in the use of money. 3, faithfulness in that which belongs to someone else. So these are the 3 things. So why am I keeping you here for the next 2 years? What you need is not PhD. That's not the PhD. What you need is, let me smell the sacrifice of your faithfulness. I want to perceive the sweet aroma of your faithfulness. That is why I'm telling you, I give you 2 more years to do it. Remember I said, 8 hours a day, but for your own eyes now, 10. Now, this is what God does. At the end of 2 years, when it's time to leave, you wouldn't want to leave. You will have put the joy for that place in your heart. Then now, I will promote you. Now, because God is not averse to promotion, it's not against his will. And there's something I was discovering my wife the other day. See, if you're working in a place, you know, you can promote yourself, I found out. Yeah, this is not for the purpose of human promotion, but real promotion. You can promote yourself. Do you know that? Do you know you can work in a place and promote yourself? Let me give you an example. Now, this is a very crude example, but please follow me. You're employed in a place, you're supposed to be the gate man. All right? There are 2 ways to work. What's the job of the gate man? Open the gate, close the gate, lock it at night. Uh-huh. Do you know that they didn't employ you to clean the gate area? Do you know they didn't employ you there to trim the flowers in front? Do you know they did not employ you, you understand, to do front desk, you know, to greet people? They didn't employ you to replace the bulb or anything. They said, you just be the gate man. So they gave you salary of gate man. There are 2 ways. You can come there, open the gate, and close the gate. Open the gate, and that's all. Or you can come early and sweep the gate area. Say, the way the cleaners clean this place, I don't like it. No, this is my gate. It has to be different. You can come on. The way God gives you a bit of a flair, it's just there. Right next to the gate, just put 1 little flower pot that's there. And the boss comes, what's that? So I thought you look nice there. And you're not doing it to impress him. You're just in, you know, you just like beautiful things. They need to employ a gardener, really. But you saw that the front of the gate is a bit rough. So you cleared it, and then you planted flowers there. And the boss comes there. What? Now, you're not doing this to impress anybody. And when clients come, you're welcome, sir. Welcome to, what's the name of your company again? You're very welcome, sir. Where do you want to go? No, there's those who just close the gate. Please, I'm looking for, go inside and ask them now. You know, they are angry. Yeah, they open the gate. Hey, go inside and ask them now. Oh, sorry. And then they go inside. But you, please, you're looking for who? So I said, okay, please, as you go in, there's a receptionist there. All right, please, talk to her. She will tell you, but I think it's the first office on your left. You're welcome, sir. And you've closed your gate. You have promoted yourself. You're no longer just a gate man. You are the, what's it called, horticulturist? I don't know which word to use now. You beautify the place. And you're actually an assistant receptionist. And nobody has employed you for that. Now, you are not doing it to impress anybody. This is just the life of Christ in you manifesting. And you know what? Many places where we are, God is saying, wait there. That's what I'm doing in you. Right now, if you are not getting anything, nothing drops from you. And I don't like my children to be like that. They don't have a self, for not to have a self-sacrificing attitude, God does not like it. My wife was telling me something yesterday. I think I should just mention it so that Christians will not behave that kind of nonsense way. What do you call that program? Oh, okay, don't know the name. Anyway, but there's a program. There's one Nigeria you was doing for Shopee. But it's not Shopee. I think an agency is doing this. They employ young people. Pay them ₦100,000 a month. Just like NYC, but it's a private company. They now post it to different companies. The company's job is to just certify that you work. And that those people, they will pay you. So the aim is that you employ for a year. Hopefully you improve your skills. You impress those people. Maybe they will retain you. Just trying to create employment. Because a lot of young people did this. Listen to this. They are unemployable. You can't employ them. Yet, say as at now, there's a company my wife told me, is it 10 people they sent to them? They've driven away 8. That one came to one man and said, the money is $100,000, so whether he could negotiate, the man should take 50. He will take 50. The man should just be signing for him every month. So the man looked at the stupid boy and like, now wow, you know how to insult your elders here. At this my level in life, it looks like you're $50,000. So one will come and say, I beg. Now remote work they want to. Sign me up now, is it your money? Yes. That's, please, young people, eh? See, carry this attitude to America, you will end up in prison. See, that's where you want to go. You know, see, go there. You will end up in prison. See, let me tell you something about some of those countries you want to die to get to. Eh? With your attitude, they will hold you as a slave. The next 40 years, you are a slave. You'll be working, you will see food, though, but that's all. And if you try to break away from the slavery, then you'll be a real slave. They'll put your butt in jail. Because to break away, you will break their laws. And they will capture you and put you in the slammer. And it's God trying to teach you a lesson. Let me tell you the lesson of God. Young people, nobody owes you anything. Nobody. Even life does not owe you. The breath you have been given is too expensive. You don't deserve it. Your heart is still beating for what? You should wake up in the morning and say, Father God, my heart is still beating. I just discovered. I woke up this morning. Put up your two hands and worship. Then when you're worshiping, thank God for the breath and say to the Lord, who do I serve today? Brethren, trek to work. This car will not take you to heaven. There's no need. Do you know that a young man can buy a car these days? For what now? How will you give a car to a guy who's not going anywhere? Do you know cars need to be maintained? Brethren, your shoes don't charge you. Wear them. And just take it straight to where you are going. Please don't let anybody who will not marry you because you are trekking. I mean, what are you talking about? Don't worry, God will bless you later. The point I'm making is this. Eh? Go out and make up your mind to be a blessing. Those guys said they will pay you ₦100,000 a month. Just take it, say, for a year. And I'm not working for them. They are paying me to go and learn how to work somewhere else. See, I'll say something that will shock you, young people. Go to that office. If you check that transportation is taking too much of your money, just go there and say, please, sir. What if I guard this place, this side of the building, overnight? What are you trying to do? You are reducing your expenses. So park for 2 days. Tell your father, I'm guarding a portion of our office. I'm working overnight. What are you trying to do? You don't want to pay money to go back. Work so hard at the end of the year when you are leaving. I think one of our brothers, what he did, he came to town, he came to hear the word for some time. He stood around for about a year and a half or so or two. Can't remember the exact length of time now. When he came to town, he went and stayed with the other coppers. With the copper. Yeah, I just finished NYC. So went to family house. Hey, guys, is it okay? Is it not to sleep? Hey, come and sleep. What will he eat? He went to one school. He told me the name of the school. I don't want to mention it now. He got there and said, please, I want to teach for you guys. He said, we don't need teachers. He said, why don't you just let me teach? At the end of the month, this is what I'm worth. What I've helped you. Ah. Okay, who would say no? There's one guy who came and walks with my wife like that. I remembered him now. That guy was an interesting human. My God. Let me tell his story so that you guys, if you are listening to this, you will be like that. He was posted to Enugu. Somebody employed him to come and supervise a project. So he's not a small boy. And they lodged him in a hotel. So he's that caliber of staff. So he came to my wife's office. Said, Loma, the work they gave me is not hard to do. I hate being idle. Can I teach for you? So my wife said she talked to him. I came that day. So the guy came. I said, I just asked him, why did you pick on this establishment? He said, it's near the hotel where I stay. So I just came out and walked around. This is the first place I saw. How many weeks did this stay? It stayed just a little over a month. In that 1 month, he learned everything that they do there. The only time I saw him on the road, he was walking to church. The guy said he's not used to being idle, that he can't just stay and not doing anything. And that the place where he's supposed to work, that the work is not really picked up. He's supposed to supervise. In fact, it was just like a cash monitor. Do you follow my point? They had a big project, but the man who's doing it is abroad. So he needed somebody trustworthy to come and help him oversee. So that's why most of the time, he has nothing to do. That he doesn't live like that. This guy came and started teaching. My wife said, okay, please let me pay you. He said, no, I don't need money. I just hate being idle. Is the intensity with which he did the work that was exciting me? The man that said clearly, I don't need money. I just hate being idle. He worked as hard as anybody. Okay, man, how do you say you do this one? Papa, he has gone on, like he has done this one. Okay. That is, he learned the system in days. So when I say you can promote yourself in this life, I know what I'm talking about. That young man was telling you, after I finished teaching for him, the school now finally said, okay, this is how much they will be paying him. He just needed money to eat. The guy said, I came to town to hear the word of God. I just need something to eat and transport myself. So whatever they gave him, he collected. By the time he wanted to leave, they were now begging him not to go. I told him, go now. I didn't come here to stay. They were now the ones begging him not to. This one I was telling you, my wife was wishing that, Kai, why won't this your project last the next 1 year? Let me pay you now. He said no. So finally, the only thing she could do was to just look for gifts and give to him to show that, I appreciate your coming. You can't walk through life and start behaving as if everybody owes you. How can they owe you when you have never done anything? Do they just owe people because they are alive? You just come to my door and knock. People are owing me here. Say, why? I've been breathing since yesterday. Can't you feel the impact of my breathing in your life? He said, yes, I noticed. Thank you very much. The carbon dioxide we're using for photosynthesis, you are producing it. Yeah. So pay me. I said, how much carbon dioxide have you produced? Cars are producing more than you. No. You should go out in life. Your main aim is what? Let me contribute. What am I saying about truth? Listen, truth makes a demand. If you want to grow in life, you must obey the demand of truth. Anytime you refuse to obey the demand of truth, you're stuck at a particular spot. Let me say something to you. The demands of truth, many times, they're uncomfortable. They're uncomfortable. They're uncomfortable. You know, I look at life. Let's take marriage as an example. I say people, they have not understood. One day I went to preach. Let me not mention where. Well, I went to preach in one place anyway. Then a man came to greet me. Said, do I recognize him? I said, no, I don't. No, I recognize the face, but I couldn't place it. Now mention, we met here. Oh, another place I went to preach. I said, okay. He came to thank me. He said, thank you very much. What did I do? He said, there's something he's been trying to teach his wife for 20 years. 20 years. Said that they finally, she got it. When I finished preaching. And that his home has been sweet since that day. I won't tell you what now. 20 years. He said, there was a way you explained it. My wife caught it like this, understood it. Since then, I told myself, I said, no, this marriage can be sweet. It can be. Except that anytime it makes a demand, it can be expensive. Yeah. So people, and it has a way, let me tell you something. If you like your independence, everything going the way you like it, the way you planned it, can I just beg you? Don't marry you. Don't. Especially when you're a woman. If you're a man, it's bad. But when you're a woman, that one is even bad times, like 1,000. I'm telling you. So once you've made up your mind, things got to be the way you want it to be. And when they've lied to you that follow your heart. See, just follow your heart. Are you getting my point? Just be following your heart. Don't follow any man. Do you get my point? Don't follow any man at all. Even if your heart says, let's follow this man. Say, no, heart. You go on your own. Because when you first marry, didn't work. The first thing he will tell you is that he's more important than your heart. Follow me. And you that have been following your heart all your life, what will you do? Conflict now starts. That's when you see a man tell you, because I said so. And that's supposed to be the law of God. See, where I'm going is that this thing, but before you can read the sweetness that God planned for it, you have to have a level of what? Knowledge and understanding. And that knowledge and understanding is not just about how marriage is supposed to work. It's about God. Yeah, I know what I'm talking about. Because a lot of people don't realize, when God says, submit to this man, you know what it means? Submit to him, he will answer to me. That's the full sentence. I'm telling you. That, you see, I told you, I didn't read this book in heaven. That something. What God says, submit to him, he will answer to me. I told you, you can activate things in your life. You think God is stupid? He can't leave you helpless. He tells you, oh girl, it's me and you on his matter. Don't worry. That's a revelation I'm telling you. It is not as if God just, it turns one, sorry, I'm not insulting your husband, okay? It turns a half idiot to a boss. And he'll be watching it. Some of these boys don't have sense. Does it not make sense that he will spoil everything? So you think that God doesn't know that? He does. So he follows the woman to his house because he knows this is my boy. He never he says never complete. So he goes in there personally to defend the woman. I may be joking, but I'm telling you, that's what he does. I look back now, you know, I know when I married. And I'm looking at my wife, say, who deceived you like this? That you went and married? Do you know, I sat here, I just thought about me. Almost 26 years ago. And I look at, I now remember my wife. She was very thin that time. She was very, very thin. So I'm looking at me, I'm looking at her. I said, what were you thinking? In my mind, what deceived you? I felt it was a lethal decision. Tell me. Do you understand? Right now, I will not give my daughter to Banky. You Banky of that time? No. No. I'm not going to go. No, there are times I just look and say, why do foolish boys marry? You know, I'm just thinking, what was I thinking? Was that not a risky idea? I think about that once in a while. No? I just look and say, man, this guy, maybe you had faith, Sha. You must have had faith to follow a planless, clueless, who did not even know where he was going. It was after we got married, my friend said, will you go to Enugu? It sounds funny now, but you know, there are times I think about it, say, if that was my daughter, I'll be praying every day. You know, you look at his black face, you don't even know what he's thinking. any woman that gives the daughter, the young boy like Joseph, they work here. They must have faith. They must have faith. I might say they shouldn't marry. No. I'm abusing myself like this. I will marry again And in fact, given a choice, I would even marry 2 years earlier. Thank you. I'm talking about the faith of God. That if ever worked out, it is faith. I heard your husband tell the story he told her that I was feeling sorry for you in arrears. This testimony he shared with us during the couple's meeting, was it last year? Yes. I'm just feeling sorry for you in arrears that. So you allowed a man to do this to you. As if I didn't do it to somebody. But the point I'm making is that, ladies, listen. God will not tell you to go into a house where he's not planning to follow you. If you're a Christian. No. No. The concept of submission is that he's saying, don't worry, I will handle him. That's the concept. And his own argument is that, look, two of us can't do this job. So you go in, do what I say. Don't worry, I'll tackle everything. You're getting my point? See, what you do is that by faith, you put yourself in the hands of God. Brethren, what is God doing in your life? He's forming you into something. Let me just add this one as I close. He can bless you materially. I'm not saying he doesn't. But please, that's not the reason why he called you. Your pursuit is for holiness and righteousness. Your pursuit is for what? Holiness and righteousness. And what it does as you are pursuing that, truth will keep manifesting to you. And each time truth comes, it makes a demand. And anytime you obey the demand of truth, it raises you up to another level in holiness and righteousness. I don't think I need to say more than that for today. Let's bow down our heads and just say, Father, thank you.